And I don't want to. Good. Thank you. Hey, happy Mother's Day to all of your mothers. We really do pray that this is a special day for you. We're thankful as a church for the gift of mothers to us. I pray that today is a special day for you, Mom. You deserve it because you got to get back to work tomorrow. You got 364 more days, so you get to enjoy it. Mother's Day is, to me, it kind of looks like one day a year where moms receive unimpressive gifts that they will store up in a lockbox for the rest of their lives to remember the one day a year where their kid was actually nice and appreciated what they did. I grew up, I've got siblings, and every year we'd do something really unimpressive for my mom. We'd maybe draw her a picture, and then as we got older, it got a little bit better maybe. I remember one year in middle school, I was in shop class where they teach you how to do woodworking and stuff, and I thought, I'll make my mom the best gift ever. I'll make her a cup out of wood. So I took just a little chunk of wood, and I drilled a hole in it. There you go, Mom. And I painted it. I think we might have a picture. Do we have the picture of the cup there? Look at that. Isn't that awesome? My mom still has that cup. That's why there's a picture of it. And I wanted to show you. I even signed it with my name somehow. We can take it off because that is very unimpressive. But moms, you have a tough job to do. Amen? Yeah, you do. Some of y'all are like, yes, you don't even know, Brother Jacob. I hope that this sermon encourages you. When I found out I was going to get to preach on Mother's Day, God brought a passage to my mind that says, your labor is not in vain. And that's a very good passage for parents. That's a very good passage for all Christians to be reminded that our work for the Lord, though it may seem empty, is not in vain. And I pray, that's my prayer for you today, is that the Lord would encourage you, especially moms, with this passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 is all we'll do. If you want to stand up with me as we read that, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. This is just a way of us honoring, acknowledging with our bodies. God, we want to hear from you. So whatever posture you need for that, do it. I'll be reading from the Christian Standard Bible today. So if it's different than yours, that's the reason why. It says this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, the last verse. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, my dear brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let's pray. Father God, would you open up your word to us? Speak to us. Plant your word deep in us, shape and fashion us for your likeness and for your glory. We thank you for moms today. We praise you. God, you've given us a good gift in moms, whether our mom is still with us, still following you strong, or some other situation. God, moms are a gift, and we praise you. God, we pray, before we go on, we just want to pray for moms, that this is a good day and a celebrating day for a lot of moms, but there are also moms that this is a difficult day for various reasons. Mother's Day is difficult. So God, we lift them up, and we pray to the God of all comfort that you would comfort them in this day, remind them that you are with them. God, as we open your word, would you speak to us? And we pray this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Our outline for today is forever, for now, and for God. Forever, for now, and for God. So forever, it's in view of eternity. We can see what God has lined up for us for life right now. And right now makes sense when we think about forever. For now is what is the work God has for us, and we'll see that in the passage as well. And then for God, all of the work we have, including parenting, is unto the Lord. And because it is unto God, it is not in vain. So let's consider first the forever. Part one is forever. Look at verse 58 again. It says the first word there is therefore, right? Therefore. And we are a Bible-believing church. You've probably heard this 100 times from Pastor Todd, but whenever you see therefore, you have to ask the question, what is it there for? And so we'll ask that right now. If you look, if you have your open Bible in front of you, you can see the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 15. You could read the headings and notice Paul has been spending an entire chapter talking about the resurrection life. He's been spending an entire chapter talking about eternity. And so therefore, at the end of that chapter, he caps it all off and he says, because of eternity, because of forever, because we have faith in a God who will save us forever, the right now makes sense. Verse 53, I just want to read a couple of verses there. It says in verse 53, for this corruptible body must be clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal body must be clothed with immorality. That's a short way of saying we're getting old and broken down, and we're going to have new resurrection bodies. That's our eternal hope. I'm 34 years old right now. Last week, I hurt my back sitting down. I sat down and did something, and I'm only 34, and I'm already longing. And some of y'all just rolled your eyes. You're like, just wait, brother. It's a lot harder than that. But you got a lot to look forward to in regards to things to complain about when you're preaching. But we long for that. God created us not just for this earth, but for eternity. We don't see that in our world. Our world is all about improving the body we have right now. But Jesus is saying, I've got an improvement that's beyond what you have. And then in verse 57, another verse he says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory, an eternal victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus has given us victory even when we don't feel like it, even when we have a week where our performance for the Lord has been poor, where we feel like we've stumbled back 5 steps in our spiritual walk, we have victory. And Paul is saying, because of that, our labor is not in vain. Because we look at forever, our work for the Lord now makes sense. We're not just, as parents, as moms, you're not just preparing your children for right now. Paul is saying, in the context of this passage, you're preparing your kids for eternity. And some of y'all might say, yeah, it feels like eternity with my kids, whatever they're going through right now. So Paul says, therefore, because of forever, and then he uses this compassionate word to refer to us. He says, dear brothers and sisters. He says, because of forever, dear brothers and sisters. Do you see that in verse 58? He's about to tell us later on in the verse to toughen up, to work hard, to set our face, to be immovable. But first, he tells us that our motivation to work hard for the Lord, our motivation to be steadfast, is because we are already dearly loved children of God. He says that our fuel for the fight as moms is because of God's deep love for us, God's eternal love for us. As parents, the fuel for your parenting can be a lot of things. The fuel for your parenting could be that your kids could have it better than you had it, or a desire for your kid to make it to college. Or your fuel might be, my desire is just that my kid not be in jail forever. But today, the truth of this passage is the fuel for your parenting needs to be the love that God has already shown you, and a desire for your kids to not just be ready for this world, but to be ready for eternity. So first off, forever, Christians can have a confidence in God's love, and that confidence gives us a fuel for now. So let's consider the second part of our sermon, which is for now. What is our work for now? Second part of that verse, Paul gives us 3 action verbs. He says, be steadfast, be immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work. So he says, because of forever, because that's sealed up, you're not trying to earn God's love anymore, here's your work, okay? And don't get that out of order. Don't come today thinking, I've got to work hard, I've got to be steadfast, I've got to do... That's not the order. He says, because forever is sealed for you in Christ, you can work hard. So if you're here today, you're not a Christian, you've got to get that first. No work, no steadfastness is ever going to impress God. You've got to get that forever thing figured out first. You've got to put your faith in Christ for your forever. Then the right now makes sense. Let me give you three attributes, those three attributes that he names for us. The first one is steadfast. So three attributes of the Christian. This is really three attributes of what a Christian mom can encompass with Christ's help. Steadfast. Steadfast is the first one. He says, be steadfast. Have you ever heard the phrase, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon? Raise your hand. Anybody ever heard that phrase before? I love that phrase because it helps me to be patient. A lot of times, I'll face life like it's a sprint. Parenting is not a sprint. Sometimes, as a parent, you do have little seasons where you've got to sprint, you've got to go all out, but it's more like a marathon, right? There's a pacing. To run a marathon, you have to be steadfast. You have to be able to endure lots of hills. You got to be able to tell yourself, keep on going. Even though we're only halfway through, we've got to keep on pushing. And for parenting, it takes steadfastness. It takes, I'm going to do this. It takes endurance. And as I thought about this, I also thought parenting is, it's almost not just like a marathon. It's like a relay race where you're not just running for yourself, but you're running to pass the baton on to your children, to pass the faith on to your children. Long after they are under your household, long after they are under your care, you're passing on the faith to them. So this idea of steadfastness, we have a Father who is steadfast, and God is our example of steadfast endurance. It says in Psalm 46 that God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not be afraid though the earth trembles and the mountains topple in the depths of the sea. God's steadfast love is a place for us to return to when we've wandered off the path. His steadfast love is a place for us to return to. And moms, your steadfastness is a place for your children to return to for safety, but also when they wander off, your steadfastness, your faithfulness will be a place for them to return to. The first attribute is steadfast. The second one is immovable. Paul says, be immovable. And now Paul is not just talking about at the dinner table, not budging on, you know, letting them have dessert before vegetables. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about, you know, don't let them have their phone if they didn't do their homework, right? That's not what he's talking about. That's part of it, right? Because kids are so good at kind of just finding any kind of crack and coming in and getting us to budge as parents. Be immovable. What Paul is saying is be immovable means gotta keep the faith. That's what he's saying. Keep the faith. Don't move off of the Lord's path. Stay on the Lord's path. In John 15, John writes it this way. Jesus is speaking and he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. And Jesus tells us, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That word abide means you live. You live in it. He's saying, live in me. Find your fuel in me. Find your fuel in God's word. The mother who abides in God's word, the mother who is immovable, is the one who abides in the word of God, so much so that God's word is like a sap that just flows through the veins of their life. That when you speak to them, you hear God's word flowing out. That when pressure comes, what gets squeezed out is God's word. When you get in God's word and God's word gets in you, mom, you will be immovable. When you get God's word, you stop worrying, you start trusting. Your prayers shift from something like, God, I don't know what's happening. I don't know how you're going to do it. And it starts sounding like, God, it's really unlikely, but I know who you are. I know what your word says, God. I don't know how you're going to answer it, but I believe that you will. think about your life as a Christian, not just moms, everyone. Do you abide in God's word? Do you live in it? Do you breathe in it? Is it flowing through you? I know, moms, you are some of the busiest people on the earth. And sometimes you got to get creative to be in God's word, to spend time. You can say, I'm going to wake up at 6 o'clock and open my Bible, and at 6:01, you know who's up? Your kids, right? Or maybe they're calling you if your kids are a little older, and it's hard to be in God's word. I want to give you a couple of resources that are helpful for me and have been helpful for my family. The first one is called the Streetlights Bible app. This is an app that is totally free that you can use and download or listen to the Bible. This is probably more for some younger people than some older people, but I think maybe some older people might enjoy this. It's the Bible read, spoken over some music. So a lot of times it's some kind of like R&B kind of boop, 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 something that keeps your attention, keeps you listening, but you're soaking God's word in. The second one is called Commuter Bible. It looks like this. This is a free app you can go and download at the App Store or whatever you have on your phone. It's a one-year plan to read through the Bible. It's spoken, so I'll use this a lot when I run. I listen to the Bible. Right now it's in Judges, and I'm on pace to read the Bible in an entire year. So in addition to, yes, I try to wake up and while I'm reading my read the Bible while I'm drinking my coffee, I'll try to get God's word in me because I know as a parent I need to abide in God's word. I need it saturating my life because there's always voices coming in and telling me false truth, false just lies. So be immovable, Mom. And Mom, your example of immovability, your example of soaking in God's word and staying on God's path, your example shows your kids how to stand firm when they feel like running away. Your example of standing up and saying, this isn't going to crush me because God is on my side. Your example shows your kids how to be immovable. And then before we go on, I just want to say God is a God full of grace. I don't want to crush you moms with this sermon and say you should be doing better. God is a God of grace who comes to us when we blow it, who comes to us when we fall off of the path, who comes to us with grace and says, get back up. Some of us, maybe today, we just need to take a deep breath of God's grace to know that it's not up to us, to know that forever is sealed for us, to know that, listen to this, that God is filling in the cracks and he's going to get his glory. He fills in all those cracks where we mess up. He fills them with his grace. It's almost as if God delights to use my failures more than my strengths. Paul talks about that in another book of the Bible where he says that we have this treasure in jars of clay. If you have a clay jar and you have a lid on it, there's no way for the glory to get out unless that jar gets cracked and then the glorious light that's inside comes out. And so, Mom, when you mess up, give God the glory because he's going to use it for his good. The first thing is be steadfast. The second one is be immovable. And the third one is always excelling in the Lord's work. You see that in your Bible? Paul says, be steadfast, be immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work. That word excelling, it literally means abounding, having more than enough. He's saying, be in abundance in the work of the Lord. That's what I think of. That's the word I think of when I think of moms. Abounding. Just, I'm going to keep doing it. Just continually putting up with things for children. That's what moms do. That's why moms are such a gift from God. He designed you that way, Mom, to be abounding. You are fulfilling your design by abounding in the Lord's work. That word abounding, that word excelling, is the same word that is used in Matthew when Jesus feeds the multitude. It says that everyone ate and they were satisfied and they picked up 12 baskets full of leftover pieces, abounding pieces. There was more than enough. And the good news for us is the Lord gives us work to do as parents, but he's always there to give us everything we need to do that. I want you to listen very closely to what I say here, Mom, and everyone else. God desires for you to be fruitful. God wants you to be fruitful. In John 15, we read earlier a verse, but we'll read another verse from John 15 where Jesus says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Did you see that? God wants us to be fruitful. God wants to work through us. But sometimes we pray as if we think, you know, God's got somebody better than me that he can do it. Someone who's got their life more together than me. Someone who hasn't messed up as much as me. And Jesus is saying, abide in me, and God is glorified because he's going to produce fruit. God is glorified when you produce fruit because he gets the glory. Because he took you from nothing. He took you from being spiritually dead, and he's brought you to life. And he's just putting you on display of his glory. And the way to fruitfulness is by abiding in Christ. There is nothing in the world that drives you closer to Christ than being a mom, than realizing this is way bigger than me. Lord, I need your help. So a couple ways that we abound in God's work, a couple of ways that we excel in God's work is by caring for our kids, caring for them, listening to them, playing with our kids, talking with our kids. That's the Lord's work for us. And we're about to see that that is not in vain. Making disciples of our kids as parents. Mom, that's God's work for you. It's good work that he has prepared for you and he has chosen you. So forever, for now, and for God. Forever, God gave us eternal victory. That's our fuel for the Christian life. That's what fuels us to be steadfast and immovable and abounding in God's work. And then the last thing is for God. We do all this for God. You may be asking, Jacob, why should I be steadfast? Why should I be immovable? Jacob, if you knew how difficult this situation is, how complex this is, you wouldn't be urging me to be steadfast. You'd be saying, hang them up, just give up. Well, I saved the best for last. This is my favorite part of this passage. We should be steadfast because of the final part of this passage. I hope you see that in verse 58. Be immovable, be steadfast, be always excelling in the Lord's work because you know. Oh, it's going to get good. Because of what you know, because of what's in your heart, because you know, because of what God has promised. He says, because you know that your labor, your work, your toil, your nights up praying for God to help your child, your nights up worrying about where they're going, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Your labor. Parenting is labor. Parenting, moms, is work. Amen? Parenting is work. Amen? Whether you have young kids, it's work. If you have grown kids, it's work. If you have teenage kids, it's work. It's hard work. And this verse tells us, Paul isn't hiding that. He says it is labor. But it's in the Lord, and it's not in vain. So your work of pointing them to eternity, your work of teaching them God's ways, your work of just keeping them alive, God tells us it's not in vain. But it sure feels like it sometimes, doesn't it? Sometimes it just feels like a never-ending day when you have young kids in the household. It just feels like a long day that's never going to end, where you're asking, how long until bedtime? Then your kids get a little bit older, and it's a longer season. Your kids are teenagers, and it's like, how long until this season is over? How long until she snaps out of whatever grumpy thing she's going through? Then your kids get old and grown on their own, and it's long decades even of like, God, how long until you open his eyes to see the truth? And it's hard, and sometimes as a parent, it feels like it's in vain. And it feels like it's in vain because growth is gradual. Growth is gradual. We see that physically with our kids. I've got three young kids, and all the time I'm thankful for a church full of of seasoned adults who tell me, Jacob, it's going to go fast. You're going to blink and they're going to be graduating. So I'm thankful for that. But it feels so gradual. I'm just so eager for the day when my girls can put their pants on by themselves. I cannot wait for the day where they can fix their own food and clean up after themselves and just open the refrigerator by yourself, for crying out loud. But growth physically is gradual. And it goes by so fast, doesn't it? Spiritual growth is gradual too. Spiritual growth is, man, I just thought by now, you know, even Paul, he writes in his letters to some of the church, he says, I thought by now you'd be eating spiritual steak, but you're still in the milk stage. You're still just a baby. And with our kids, their spiritual growth is so gradual, so much of a learning to walk and stumble again, and then learning to walk and stumble again, and then learning to hold the Father's hand so we don't stumble as much. It's gradual. It reminds me of, have you ever seen one of those smooth riverbed stones that's just so smooth, and you hold it up to your face? Maybe you don't hold it up to your face, but it feels good if you do, and it's so smooth. That stone didn't start out smooth. If we were to look at when that stone started hundreds or however many years ago in the river, we would have had no hope for it. Some jagged rock up against some water. No water's going to do anything, but the steadfast, the immovable, the always abounding river smooths it out gradually. And mom, that's what you're doing in your kid's life. You're smoothing them out. The Lord is using you to rub up against some of their rough edges and to smooth them out. And they'll graduate from your house and you're still working to smooth them out. And then they're going to become parents and you're still going to be smoothing them out. And God's continuing to use you as a steadfast river in their life. That word, in vain, it feels in vain sometimes because it's so gradual. That word in vain that Paul uses, it means empty. Empty. There is nothing worse than putting a ton of work into something and it's for nothing. Have you ever done that? Maybe a relationship that just ends poorly and you say, man, that was just in vain. Or a job that you put all your work into and it just is taking you nowhere. It's not successful. Or a class that you take, you put all you have in it, and you still fail the class. It just feels empty. And that's how parenting feels sometimes. But Paul reminds us of the truth that it is not in vain. And I think it's interesting how Paul uses the word abounding, where he says, always be abounding in the Lord's work, right before he uses the word empty. It's almost like Paul is telling us, I know it feels like it's all empty, but if you're doing it unto the Lord, it is not in vain. Wouldn't you like to know that your work for the Lord, whether you're a mom, a dad, just any average Christian, wouldn't you like to know that your work for the Lord is not empty? The good news for Christians is that God sees us. He sees our work and He promises that it's not in vain. He doesn't just say, it might not be in vain. He says, it is not in vain. Mom, your work is not empty. Your work is not in vain. That is God's promise to you this morning. My family and I, we went to Myrtle Beach a couple weeks ago for spring break. I guess that was a month ago. We go down there every year, and we go to the beach. I've got two little girls, and my son is about six, and they love playing on the beach, playing in the sand. And while we were there, we stumbled upon this stream that was just flowing into the ocean, okay? And because I'm weird, I couldn't just be the person that sits on the beach and does that. I said, let's divert this stream and make our own little river out of it. And so my son was like, I'm on board, Dad. This is awesome. So we get little sticks out, and we start using sticks, and then we start using buckets, and we carve out a channel. I think, could we show the picture? Do we have a picture of that? There's the, isn't that a good illustration? That's the stream right there, and that's me in the background kind of digging out a channel from this stream. That's my girl in front playing with a bucket. But you can see my son, he's watching me, and then he's going to dig out for me. We can take that off if we want to. But we work and work and work, and if you've ever built sandcastles, you know sand just kind of crumbles in the face of water, does it not? And so we're digging out the stream, and we eventually get a channel going away from the main stream, and we're like, this is awesome, we did it. And then my son and I, we're like, let's build an island out in the middle of that big stream. So we got the buckets, and we're dumping sand, and as fast as we're dumping the sand, it's just washing down. It's just eroding away down into the ocean. And we're not giving up. We're just piling it on and piling on. Then we figured out we could take these buckets and just pile sand on top of them because the buckets won't move. And so we pile the sand on top of them. Then eventually we get to this point where we have a small island, and my girls came and they capped it off with seashells. And they just put seashells on our little island as if to say, good job, Dad. And that day, it reminds me so much of what parenting is like. Parenting is almost like this constant, got to keep up because all this just work keeps on coming to me. You solve one problem and three more problems pop up in its place, and it's almost like you're praying to God, God, just help my family not to just erode away, and you're trying to keep up with the work, and that's just such a picture of what parenting seems like sometimes. The drama of the teenage life just keeps on increasing. And if you stop, it feels like it'll all wash down. The piles of laundry never go away. And it's even more so like that for Christian parents, because we come in with these unreasonable expectations. We dream early on, my kid's going to be the kid that wins Bible drill in state. My kid's going to be the one that we have the family worship every night, and he's going to open the Bible, and he's going to lead us in, oh, how I love Jesus, every single day. That's going to be my kid. But then reality hits, doesn't it? And our prayers go from, God, he's going to be the next Billy Graham, to, God, help her not to wander away. God, rescue him from the influence of his friends. God, help her to stop biting her sister. God, my kids are crazy. God, help me. God, I never thought I would hear about my son doing that. Oh, God, would you help? And the longer we're parents, the more we realize that we need the Lord in this. God will use parenting to crush our pride. But Paul reminds us of the truth that in Christ, our labor is not in vain. In the Lord, your parenting is not empty. Mom, your labor is not in vain if you're putting your faith in Christ to help you. It's all for good. He's going to use all of it for his glory. The fuel for your parenting is God's love. And he calls you to do that good work. And he says, commit it all to me and I'll use it for my glory. So I've been talking a lot to moms. I want to talk to kids, and we're all people who have moms, so all of us really. When you thank your mom today, or when you thank God for your mom, thank her. Thank God for her being steadfast. Thank God. Thank your mom. Say, Mom, thank you for enduring with me. Thank her for being immovable. For staying on God's path, for being a path that you could come back to. Thank God for your mom that abounds in the Lord's work. Your mom may not even be a Christian, but you can thank God for her. She kept you alive. You're here this morning because of your mom's work, and it was not in vain. And for moms, my encouragement for you this morning is keep it up. Reality is, tomorrow's not Mother's Day, and we return to the work. No more burnt breakfast for you tomorrow. Keep praying, Mom. Keep praying, Mom. And keep praying, Mom. Be steadfast in your prayers. We did a prayer walk this past week with our student ministry, where we walked around downtown Henderson, and I told them, keep your eyes open and look for different places that you can pray and ask God's blessing on those things. So as we walked around, the kids got really creative. They'd walk by the the realty place, and they'd pray, God, just as this realtor helps open doors, God, would you open doors that people would hear the gospel? So stuff like that, and I just told them, pray with your eyes open. So at one point, we're praying, and I'm with a group of high school guys, and we're praying, and I said, eyes open. So I'm praying, and I said, oh, God, I pray for whatever business we're at. And I looked down, and there was a $20 bill on the ground, all folded up, all crisp and nice, but folded real small. Oh, God, would you pray? Wow! And I found the $20 bill, and that was it for the rest of the night. I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. And then one of my students, who is much more spiritual than me, Isaac Sword, dear Lord, we pray for whoever lost their $20 bill. Amen. And instantly, I'm just guilted, like, really? That should have been my prayer as the youth pastor. Yeah, we should pray. No, I'm just celebrating. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. So we get back that on Wednesday night. We come in the student building, and we're all sharing stories about what happened that night. And I told him, like, I found this $20 bill. And I actually shoved it in my wife's face to be like, looky here, I'm the lucky one. And as I did that, one of the students said, I think that's mine. I dropped it at such and such place, and it was all folded up, I think. And I showed it to her, and she said, yeah, that was mine, and I feel really bad about it. And I said, no, here you go. And it was a joy for me to give it to her because Isaac had prayed for that. Isn't that crazy? He had prayed, God, I pray for whoever lost this $20 bill. And God answered that prayer immediately. And so that night we were realizing that God loves to answer our prayers, that all these prayers we had prayed for our community and for the businesses, that God would bless these businesses, that God would take care of the families we saw playing in the park, that God would open doors for the gospel. It was almost like God was saying, hey, here's just a hint. Here's just a preview of some of the ways I'm answering your prayers. If God could answer Isaac's prayer about a $20 bill, then God could answer our bigger prayers for his children who are wandering away. Mom, hear this. If God can answer a prayer for a lost 20, he can answer your prayers for your lost child. I don't think you heard me. You would have said amen. If God cares enough to return a lost $20 bill to its home, he cares enough to hear your prayer, not just to answer because he feels bad for you, but because of its glory. And he says, I can return your lost child to home. God loves to answer prayers because it shows his glory, not yours. So mom, keep praying. God designed you for that. God put immovability in you for that reason. God put steadfastness in you for that reason. Because he gets the glory because he made you that way. He's calling you to pray, and he says your prayers are not in vain. So be steadfast, mom. The gospel is all over this passage. I hope you see it. We're a church that believes the gospel, that the gospel is real simple. The gospel is God saves sinners, that God created us to be with him. He designed life and it was good. But then God saves sinners because we've messed it up. We all fail at this passage. I hope there's not a person here today that would say, yeah, I'm nailing it on this. I hope that we're honest to say, I've not been steadfast. We have not been immovable. We have not stayed on the path of God. We have not done the Lord's work abundantly. We've been doing our own work. But the gospel says that Jesus came and he was steadfast and he was immovable and he was always abounding in the Lord's work. Jesus excelled in doing God's work, but Jesus still died on the cross as a punishment for when we have failed. And now Jesus offers to us his perfect work on our behalf. That's the good news. You want to know the better news? Is that Jesus does not labor in vain. Never. Nothing he did it was in vain. It was all accomplished for God's glory. It was on the third day when Jesus was raised, it was God declaring his labor is not in vain. It's paid in full. Doesn't matter what you did, all that matters is what Christ has done. If you're here and you came just to please mama, I'm so thankful you're here. But if you need to trust in Christ for your forever, you can do that just by saying, God, I'm tired of running away. God, I'm tired of living empty. I give you my life. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, forgive me. Save me and help me to live for you. You can say something like that, and then if you do that, please just tell someone. Say, I want to walk with the Lord. Moms, we love you. Moms, you have work to do from the Lord, but your work is not in vain. Forever will be affected by your work now as you do it for God. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. Then we're going to sing a song. This is a little bit different. Lindsay's going to come up and we'll lead a song about just this whole idea of this passage about our labor is not in vain. So would you bow with me as we pray? Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you that our labor is not in vain. Thank you that you're with us. Thank you for your Spirit who encourages us when we're weak. We pray for moms. We pray that they could follow you and trust in you. We pray for someone here who needs to follow you in faith, that they would do so. In Jesus' name, amen.